Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Hollett. And I just have to pray, so let me start right here. Lord, bless what I've tried to give here. You've given it to me. Help it to be a help to my friends that are here in this service, those that would be about. Lord, we do, like Brother Hollett said, we just have so many that have physical issues going on right now. Touch and heal. Lord, if we could have all of our church back together all at the same time, it would be such a blessing. Thank you for Miss Neal making her way in here this evening just to encourage us. And visitors are just great to have, God. And I just pray that you'd continue to send them our way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, last Sunday evening, started a message on the Word of God, right? And I mentioned that we in this church take a strong stand on the Word of God. And I made the case that we will, those that are born again, will spend eternity in heaven because of hearing the Word of God, being convicted by the Word of God, believing what the Bible says, and then accepting Christ as our Savior. That's the only way you're going to go to heaven. I mentioned that God only sees the blood of Christ when He looks at us after salvation. And we are looking forward to our bodies being glorified because then we will no longer sin. We covered that night 2 points, how that the Word of God is settled and that the Word of God has to be believed and received by faith. And we used the example of the Philippian jailer and his conversion. So tonight we're going to start with the third point, and that's God's Word will be fulfilled. Paul said to the believers at Colossae in Colossians 1:25, "Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God." So Paul told the church at Colossae that his job was to come and to preach to them and fulfill the Word of God. And then what I thought, if you're not, and I'm not, most of us, none of us in here are that I know of. Miss Neal's husband is called to preach, but none of us are called to preach. So what do we do if we're not called to preach to fulfill the Word of God? And I saw in Luke 11:28 that the Bible says, but he said, and this is Jesus, he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. So our job is to hear the Word of God and to keep it. Now, that sounds on the surface a very simple thing to do, right? But we are to hear the Word of God and keep it. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. God's Word gives us direction for those of us that seek direction. If the Bible tells us to ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, and knock and it shall be opened unto you, if we put in our effort that God requires of us, we can be the people that fulfill the Word of God. Now, how can we Christians get help for our daily needs from the Word of God? Well, first, we have to read the Scriptures, right? If you're not daily involving yourself in the Scriptures, you're not going to hear from God. Now, we don't hear God in an audible voice, right? We hear a comment that someone says, or we can read the Word of God. We can hear, as at my house, my lovely wife will say something, and sometimes she doesn't even know that, and it happens in your houses, I'm sure. There's a thought in your head, and you're going through something, you're trying to rationalize, you're trying to figure something out, and your spouse says something that you know God gave that to them just to say to you. That's a blessing. Praise the Lord. That helps. Because trying to do what's right is not always easy. But first, we have to read the Scriptures. Number two, we have to listen to the Scriptures. Now, listening to the Scriptures means some can be in your car. You could play a cassette, a CD, a MP3, whatever they have of the Bible being read. You can put music on at home that has scriptural tones in it to hear the Word of God. But so we have to listen for the leading of the Holy Spirit. We also have to ingest, not just hear the Word of God, but make it a part of our lives. We take our food in to sustain our bodies. Our bodies have to repair themselves and have to get the rest. And all these, it's intricate what God has done. And some people think we came from something that just blew up out of nothing and evolved over millions or billions of years. No, it's a God created us. But just to hear the word of God, we've got to bring it in and make use of it. Just like our bodies take and break down our stomachs or intestines breaks down the food particles we consume, our heart, our innermost being, not our blood pumper, but our innermost being has to take the word of God and ingest it. We have to think about it. The next point was meditate. We need to meditate on it. How many of us, when we're out pushing the lawnmower, or I look at Trent and I know he's got a boat. I said, even driving the boat, you can think about the word of God. I love to get out, and Hollett goes, I love to be out on the water and just look and see the vastness of what God created. And this is only what I can see with my eyes. If I were in space looking back at the earth, think of the thoughts, the pictures those people saw, the astronauts that can look back and see the earth. And then to think there's 6.4 approximate billion people on the earth today. That's an awe-inspiring comment, thought. But the Bible tells us to meditate, think on these things. And our scripture verse for the church for the year, Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you ever find yourself, and I've said it once before in here, and someone came back to me, I said, if you ever get in a position where you're just feeling down in the dumps, everything's going wrong, nothing goes right, everybody's against you, is to sit down with a piece of blank paper and put a line down the middle and write down the things that are bothering you. But in the other column, start to write down the things that God has done for you, the blessings God has given us. And this individual and this has been probably back before we had a pastor. It's been a while back. This individual told me, she said, I did what you said. I wrote down a list, and the list of things that were against me were so small. But when I started the list of things that God has done for me, she said, I got about halfway down the page, broke into tears, dropped to my knees, and just started praising and thanking God. Because that's us. No matter how Miss Jan has lost a hand, we have people right now that are at home that are infirm. They've got bodies that have given them trouble. But even looking past all that, we have heaven for eternity coming. We have the friendship of each other. Everywhere we go, like I said the other day, we're not like Elijah. He wasn't the only Christian that was alive on the earth at that day, even though he thought he was. He complained to God that he was. God has taken very good care of us. We, on the other hand, have not done for God what he deserves. And then after all these things that we read, listen, ingest, and meditate, we have to put all that into action. Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119:130, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, both scriptures referred there, 119:105, 119:30, refer to the word of God as giving light. Now, light, that made me think, what does light do? Well, exit lights, we can't turn all the lights off in here. But have you ever been, anybody been over to the Mariana Caverns? If you've never been, you need to go. These girls need to go down there. Caves underground, little bats hanging from the ceiling, kind of neat. Now, you don't know if they're real or if they just put them there to make it look like there's bats hanging. But you go down into those caverns, and it's very cool and very damp. But you get down into those caverns, and all of a sudden, they'll tell you to grab a hold of something. And they turn the lights off. That darkness is going to be like the darkness hell's going to be like. That darkness is so thick, you can put your hand right here in front of your face and you cannot see anything. They don't leave them off for long because it could easily freak somebody out. But that's the kind of darkness that this world, the devil, wants to bring on this world. He wants to cover, hide the light of the word of the God from these people so that they cannot be saved. They will not be saved. But what is light? How does light help us get along in this life? Light enables us to comprehend. It gives us information that we did not have without it. In the total darkness, if you've ever gotten up in the evenings and stumbled your way through something, or sometimes the ladies, the spouse may rearrange furniture while you're sleeping, and you get up and you stumble along and you stub your toe on something. Without the light, you can't see to get to navigate, to get around. It provides detail to assist us in making wise choices. Now, all of us want to make wise choices, and sometimes we do, but then sometimes we don't. Now, think about it. Dark. Traveling down an unfamiliar, dark, lonely path, totally on your own, can be scary, especially if you are walking. How many of you have ever remembered walking? I used to go from my grandparents' house to maybe across the street where the tree line starts, right over there, but in the dark. And you start, and there was just this little trail that you had to stay on. Well, I could stay on the trail because of the bushes and the small, you know, growth. But you start down that trail, and all of a sudden, you're hearing sounds behind you. You're thinking there's something behind you. You walk a little faster, and you stop. And you still hear. Next thing you know, you're running as hard as you can go trying to get there, because you're for sure something is traveling, trying to catch you on that little path in the middle of the night. You don't have to be familiar. You don't have any familiarity with the area, the terrain, the potential dangers. You have no idea what the potential dangers are out there. Isn't that like sin? Somebody thinks they see the billboards, they see something, they see the cigarettes, whatever it is they see. All they see is the glamour, the side that the agencies that promote all this stuff, and they try to, and there's. They don't show the big, slobby, fat guy with the beer in his hand. They show the muscular bodybuilder types that. But the point is, if you don't have, sin is like that. Sin is going to try to make you think you could be like that, or you could go there, or you could do this. Nobody's going to catch you. Well, God, if you're a born-again Christian, God goes with you everywhere you go. Now, one thing I remembered, remember Hurricane Michael? If you forget it, that's bad. But when Hurricane Michael passed, right after it passed through Northwest Florida, Arlene and I had, Abigail had a competition down in Sarasota for the stand-up paddleboarding for the state of Florida. She's in the Special Olympics, I'll tell the story and then we'll know. But on our way down, we saw, as we headed east toward Tallahassee, well, really, once you got to Chipley, as far as you could see, there was no leaves on any of the trees. Actually, there were no trees. The pine trees that were out there would get about 8 or so feet tall, 10 feet tall, and they were broke off right there. As far as you could see, there was nothing but broken or demolished pine trees. Very odd situation. But we were traveling to the east. And then we saw crews of people out there pulling these trees up, throwing them on the backs of trucks, grinding up everything that was small, just trying to clear what they could while we're headed down for this competition. I noticed this, and I remember thinking that probably none of these trees had any value because they had been broken off. They'd been laying on the ground for however long. And so these people were just literally hauling it out, trying to get rid of it. But after the competition ended, it was just a 2-day thing, and we were headed back probably on Sunday afternoon. And Abby did win a silver medal for 2-mile stand-up paddleboarding that weekend for the state of Florida. But on our way home, as we passed Tallahassee, heading west, I started noticing trees that were so close to the road that if you rolled your window down and stuck your arm out, you quite possibly could hit the tips of those trees. That was that close to the road. And I was wondering as I saw that, and why were they cleaning up the eastbound side and the westbound side, all they did was cut the tops off so that people could drive through. And in a second, in a moment in time, I realized that someone in the state of Florida had made the determination that people driving from west of us would be coming in on the eastbound side of the interstate. And they were cleaning up that side of the interstate first because they wanted all those vacationers to be able to get here. First impressions mean a lot. They wanted them to get here and spend their money rather than to look and see, wow, this is really bad. We might want to turn around and go home. That's, I think, why they were cleaning it up. But the thought I had was, I had driven the road going east and it was clear. The debris was being removed, but then as I drove west, it was right up to the road and debris was just a few feet away. And if I or anyone else, if you just lost control of the car for a minute, if a big truck passed you and it caused you to swerve in a small car, if you moved a foot or two, you could be plowing through all those downed trees and definitely would be damage to your vehicle, and if not to you physically also. And the damage was unbelievable. If you didn't get a chance to drive over there, I can't even describe it. But as far as you could see, nothing. The light of the Word of God is like that. It will help us to distinguish the precise path, to be able to stay on a very close walk with God. As we take a step with God, He gives us more light. As we learn and grow, we learn more about God. We learn more about how God speaks to us. That's very important. If you can't hear God when He speaks to you, maybe there's something wrong in your life. Maybe you need to, even if it's an unspoken prayer request, but pray and ask that God would show you anything that hinders your ability to hear Him talk to you. Because God has... let me read it the way I wrote it. It will help us to distinguish the precise path God wants us on from all the other potential paths. And I say, maybe remember that there's many ways to get from point A to point B, right? The best way is not always a straight line. And the reason I say that, we just have to find the will of God for our lives and then just follow it, do it. God may send us a certain way because He has intentionally set up a spiritual encounter for us. It could be a person to invite to church to pass out a tract to, or maybe even get the opportunity to witness and tell that person how you were saved and ask them if they're saved. Remember when Jesus had a purpose to go through Samaria? That's really the biggest one that I remembered. His plan was that He would meet a woman at a well. The light of the Word of God is like that. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life and then see what God has in store for us in our lives. Not only will God's Word be fulfilled, God's Word should be searched. In order to find the truth, we need to search the Scriptures. Let's turn to Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11. Acts 17:11, and this is going to be the second part of the verse. This is Paul and Silas at Berea. I'll start at verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God. Now, this is the part I want you to pay attention to, especially. In that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Now, this passage, we see how we are to listen and to learn about the things of God. First, these believers listened, it says, with all readiness of mind. They were looking. They were anticipating. They were there to get something from the word of God. They weren't in the chair, in the seat, in the pew, listening on a radio somewhere just to spend their time. They were there with all readiness of mind trying to get something from the Word of God. Each of us should come to church and be in our place, in our church, anticipating what it is that God wants us to get from that service. And I'll give you my own testimony. I sat right over there. One night, it wasn't even a preaching service. Miss Neal, you probably not heard this. I'd been a deacon in this church for years. thought everything was fine. And then something was said. It wasn't even into preaching. It was, can you trust what you have to get you to heaven? I never heard another word the rest of that message, the rest of that service. I was under conviction. I had a thought placed to me in such a way that this was the time that God was giving me a chance to fix that. And I got saved. There wasn't nothing that was going to keep me back. I was in there. Now, whether I had a readiness of mind or that the Holy Spirit had prepared me to hear what was going to be said. But either way, that's a readiness of mind to listen and to want to get something from the services. They searched the scriptures part, that second part of that. That was 11:17-11. So with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. These people, when they left the service, they went home and they got their, and they didn't have a completed Bible, but they got the scriptures that they had and they searched to find if what that preacher said was true. Wow. There's way too many people in pews and churches and not here. Praise God, not here. But there's churches we've all been to, whether we visited with family sometimes or other places. You end up in a church that you just driving down the road would have been just as good for you as to stop and be at that church. With the exception that you learn that they're not all churches are getting the same kind of preaching that you're getting. And that's a big nugget to collect from God because it's very important. Those of us that have been in this church for a long time have lived a very blessed life. And Lord, bless us until you take us away. That's my prayer for this whole group and everybody we know. But they searched the scriptures daily to see if that was actually what the Word of God said. Very good example to follow. You hear something. And a lot of us, we've been around the church and we've been around preaching. And somebody can say something and we can challenge them right on. I had a man once told me that the Bible wasn't true. Now this is, I promise you this is true. This man looked me in the face and said, well, the Bible's not true because it says that pi is not 3.14 or whatever. And I said, sir, you are making things up. And I'm sorry, my wife knows me. Most of you in here know me. I started getting loud. I wanted everybody that was anywhere nearby to hear me. I said, so you're telling me the Bible's not true because some mathematical formula is not there? And he says, no, I'm telling you that in the Bible it says that pi is not 3. I said, come with me. I said, I got a Bible in the car. I want you to show me that. I said, I reached in my pocket, pulled out all the money I had. And there are a crowd of people around us now. This is at Sam's at the checkout. I said, I will give you all this money right here in my pocket if you can show me where that is in the Bible. And I'm louder than I am right now at that time. And that man had to just slink away. And I said, isn't that like everybody that challenged? And I'm preaching. I didn't know it. But I said, isn't that like all these people that challenge the Bible and then can't stand up and defend what they've challenged? And I mean, there were people standing there clapping around because there was one particular, it's a black lady and I always pick at her. I always pick her when I go through the line because she's just a nice lady. We have a good conversation. But the point was, standing up, there's others out there that believe like we do. And we just need to make sure that we are vocal in our beliefs and not hold them in and let the world go to hell while we stand by and watch. We've got to do what the Word of God tells us to do. So search the Scriptures. Let's turn to Luke 15:8-9. You're going to remember this story. But when it talks about searching, what do you think about? The first thought I had when I talked about, I wrote these notes down and searching the Scriptures. Does anybody have an idea right off the top of their head? What was that's it? That's it. Good for you. But Luke 15:8-9. Let's read that. Luke 15. Oops, I'm in the wrong place. Luke 15:8-9. The parable of the lost coin. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. They were relating, searching for what was true and right and in the Word of God to losing a piece of money. Now, I would imagine that in these times, a piece of money was a big deal. Subsistence living was how a lot of these people got by day to day. If you had bad crops, if you had an infection of bugs, you could go hungry if you didn't have good friends that would share their crops with you. But that woman stopped everything she was doing. She lights an oil lamp, so we know I make the assumption that it's dark outside. I don't really know that. But inside her house, she wanted enough light to be able to see, even if it was daytime, and looks for her lost coin. She searched and cleaned and looked in every nook and cranny, and eventually she found that coin she was searching for. She was then so happy that she told everyone she knew, or called, or got in touch with her neighbors, and asked them to celebrate with her because she found her lost coin. I've been thankful that we're in a prosperous country. You know, we individually oftentimes help other people because we have all those missionaries back there. You understand that one day in heaven, I promise you, and y'all have been on the field, so y'all, we have supported you, and praise God, we supported good missionaries, and we still do. But there are going to be people that are going to walk up to us in heaven, and they're going to look at us that have spent money, contributed money, so those missionaries can go to the places they go and preach where they can preach because we can't be there. And they're going to say, because of your giving of money, this missionary, this preacher came to the area I lived in, and I got saved. And I'm going to spend eternity with you in heaven. I'm going to tell you everything that ever happened with me before I got saved. And we may not even remember what happened to us before we got saved. Have you ever thought about that? Because once our body's glorified, maybe our minds are glorified and all the sinful ways are gone. I don't know. I just wonder. But I put a note down here and it just popped into my head, so I wrote it down. But cults are notorious for requiring followers to wholeheartedly accept and believe what is said by their cult leader just because he says so. What was the one in Guyana? Jim Jones. Drink this. I can kind of see the first 10 or 20 that drank this and dropped dead. But after that, you're going to have to make me drink it. You're going to have to catch me first. But those were people that did weird things. David Koresh, even though the federal government destroyed that place because they wanted to get rid of the evidence, my opinion. But because of the cult leader saying something, they hold to that saying, not necessarily any Bible reference, any other reference. Understand that the precepts and doctrines of our King James Bible will stand up to scrutiny. Brother Doug talks about how when he was out in evangelism having debates about the Word of God, debating concepts and precepts about the Bible, the Word we hold in our hand does not fear investigation. The only thing it should fear is the fact that we don't investigate it enough and learn more for ourselves. If we do our part and search the Scriptures, we will be able to stand against the attacks, against our faith, and against what we believe in. Psalms 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Romans 7:7, the second part. I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. In Christ's lifetime, many of those that followed him went back and walked with him no more. Jesus turned to the 12 and asked them, will you also go away? Let's go to John 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John 6, 68. Now, Jesus. Okay, 6, 68. Okay, we'll start at 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I wonder, I think, if anyone turns from following Jesus, what in the world could it be that they're searching for? They don't want right. Think about the miracles the people that followed Jesus saw. One of the things that as we back when, my opinion, you know, one of my things I wanted to do was write down the saddest story in the Bible, but that branched out so far. But I have to believe that Judas had to be the saddest story in the Bible. He traveled with Christ for the 3.5 years of his ministry and saw everything that happened. And then still went out and hung himself and died and went to hell. Now, so not only would the word of God be fulfilled and the word of God should be searched, the word of God should be exercised. 1 Timothy 4:8, I'm going to read it for you right here. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable in all things. Exercise actually is good for the body, but in the grand scheme of things, it is better to exercise our spiritual side, our innermost spiritual being. While you do your time, if you do a treadmill or stationary bike, you can listen to the scriptures, you can read the scriptures, but the more profitable part is what we should focus on. 2 Timothy 3:15 says, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. I can still quote Bible verses that I learned as a little child. Psalm chapter 1, the 100th Psalm. These are chapters in the Bible that I learned as a child going to Sunday school. I guess my mind wasn't polluted as much, and it was easier to learn, and they stayed with me all this time. If we do not exercise in the scriptures, we will not be able to use the word of God to fight off the wiles of the devil. That's the bottom line. If you don't spend your time in the words, you won't be able to defend yourself against the attacks of the devil. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Ephesians 6:17 is talking about the whole armor of God. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is how we're going to fight back against the wiles of the devil. Without spiritual strength, knowledge, and understanding, none of us are able to tackle the day-to-day battles that will come our way. Ephesians 6:12 says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Jesus, on the Mount of Temptation, used the Word of God to fight off the attacks of the devil. Jesus said, first, it is written. Second, it is written. And third, it is said. He didn't have a dialogue with the devil. He just quoted Scripture. Actually, we probably should do nothing else but quote Scripture to the devil. Do you know enough Scripture to fend off an attack from the devil or one of his demons? Think about that. Psalms 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, let not any iniquity have dominion over me. And here I wrote this down. I personally don't think I've ever heard it. But don't be an in one ear and out the other Christian. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. That verse lets us know that you can sit in the church, hear the word of God, and yet never do anything with it or for God with what you've heard. Let's explain that some people, and I just went a little more detailed. There are people that can come to church. They'll be here every, not necessarily here, but in church. Every time the door is open and outside the walls of the church, where they work, where they shop, where they eat, where they recreate, they can't live it. Some may be able to quote entire books of the Bible, but they can't live any single part of it. Some people can give advice. Some can teach and preach the right things from the right Bible for most of their lives. But when push comes to shove, some of these same people can make decisions that only benefit themselves personally. They might not follow the advice they freely passed out for all those years to those that listened to them or followed them. I know one of the things we mentioned was some of these church, and I call them church systems, but that hide issues that come along sin in the church. And I'm not casting stones, but I'm going to tell you what somebody asked me. Somebody asked me once recently, how come Southern Baptist churches just keep trading pastors? He says, you'll have a Southern Baptist church and others, but because he's in a Southern Baptist church. And he said, every 3 or 4 years, you get a new pastor in. And I looked at him, I said, I can't tell you why that is. Although I could probably tell him some reasons things like that might happen. But I said, that's why we're independent Baptists. We're self-governing, autonomous, work on our own, deal with our own. And that, and in particular, when the Southern Baptist Church veers off into staying so far away from the world as the world goes off the deep end of the pool. But he asked me that directly. He says, yeah, the preachers come and go, but the deacons are always the same. And I just said, I don't know. I can't answer that for you. I didn't want to disparage him any more than he was. It's not what you know about the Bible that builds up your Christian character. It's how much of what you do know that you put into practice in your daily life is what builds up your Christian character. Remember, to hear, believe, receive, and live. Not only will God's word be fulfilled and God's word will be searched and God's word should be exercised, but the word of God should be shared. Peter, after being threatened by Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and others in the entourage of the high priest, in Acts 4:31b said that these men spoke the word of God with boldness. They were beaten and thrown in prison because the believers of that time were emboldened by the threats they received. And now remember, think about this, pay attention, listen. The gospel throughout history has spread more during times of persecution than any time of the tranquility, every peace and love and all that. When the Jews were being chastised by the Romans, that's the catacombs, that's where they went down under the ground and hid and moved. And because of the persecution, they moved into areas that they weren't there before. And that's how the word of God spread abroad in the early church. In Acts 12:24, again, talking about that persecution, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Psalms 119:72, my tongue shall speak thy words, for all thy commandments are righteous. I've already mentioned the missionaries we're supporting and why we support them so we can see souls saved. And I do put a note here. I hope you do regularly give to missions. If you don't, pray about it. Ask the Lord what He'd have you to do. Lastly, I think, the Word of God will ultimately prevail. There's no question, as what Abigail just said about in prayer requests, we're living in troubled times. When Christ returns a second time to the earth, He is not coming back as a lamb. Let's turn to Revelation 19, verse 11. Okay, we're going to read 11 through 16 and then jump to 19. So Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of wrath of Almighty God. And he had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let's jump down to verse 19. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Death and hell, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. All those that are brought up from hell and stand before the great white throne are in this same time thrown into the lake of fire. Now, my observation is my opinion. This is really where eternity starts. All the family's been gathered home. We've already been raptured out. We've already had the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've all been judged for our way we lived our lives. And now all the enemies are gone forever. We are told in the scriptures to comfort one another with these words. With all that's been said tonight, I want to comfort you with the fact that we are right now living in those last days. Christ will very soon come and take us out of this mess before God's judgment falls on the inhabitants of the earth. Make sure you're born again. No doubt about it. Don't take a chance. Live for God. Tell others about what God's done for you. And with that, let's pray and thank the Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the strength of your word. Lord, I thank you that in this message tonight, the fact that your word will stand up against scrutiny. Your word will win out when all these other doubters and people that throw accusations against the word of God, your word is going to win, Lord. We thank you for that. Help us in this church to love you like we should. Help us in this church to serve you like we should. Help us in this community be the lighthouse. Help us to tell others about what you've done for us. Be with our pastor and Miss Judy while they're traveling back. Keep them safe on the road. We thank you for. We pray for those in here that are out for illness, Lord. We've got a third of the congregation is out for various illnesses. Touch and heal bodies. Help us all to get back together. I thank you, Lord, as we're coming up on the fourth. I thank you for my country, Lord. Forgive us what we've done with it. Help us to stay true to what we know to be true, right up until whatever were to happen here on this side, because we know we win in the end. We thank you and love you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. So we're going to have a little bit of an invitation song. If you feel you need to talk with someone, help, just speak up. If you need to pray and ask the Lord for something tonight to help you with whatever he's impressed on your heart, hopefully God spoke to you in the message. Think about that. Do what God wanted you to do. And that's all God asks of us, to do what he wants us to do. Perfect.